Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Down with the king topic of the day here on BT and Sal. And BT, we started talking about the Dodgers' robust offseason after winning a World Series and the fact that I really believe both need more from the Mets and Yankees. I thought the Mets and Yankees needed to do more before the Dodgers got Sasaki and then signed Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates. It appears they're going to get him as well. So if I thought they needed more before that, I mean, remember here. Yeah, we may be nitpicking, like the Mets and Yanks already, as we sit here today, are still probably top five odds to go out there and win the World Series, but we want more. The Yankees used to be the evil empire and have all these loaded guys going into the season, and a lot of times it worked out for them. Not always, but it worked out. And the Mets with Steve Cohen, they should be going bigger and better than everybody else. Like, why draw the line or stop to a certain extent? If the Dodgers could go over the top and do it, then why shouldn't the Mets and Yankees go over the top?
I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I think over the top is where I would tap the brakes a little bit, because when you start saying over the top, that applies we're getting a little reckless, implies we're getting a little reckless now. Like, over the top, he's over the... You don't need to go over the top. Just go up to the ledge, what you think is responsible slash aggressive. That's put you in the best position to exercise and execute your model or your business model for your franchise. And by the way, everybody's business model is different for each franchise based on ages, based on where some of their prime players are, based on what happened a year ago, based on the minor leagues, based on finances, based on a lot of variables. Listen, I understand the Tanner Scott stuff, especially since the Mets were connected to him on a shorter deal. The Kirby Yates thing, okay. And Minter's good. I do like that move. But outside of Vlad, who the Mets appear to be in on as much as anybody else in baseball outside of Toronto, to acquire him at some point or sign him if he doesn't re-sign with Toronto before the first day of spring training, what was the other power flex positional player move you think that they should have made that would have satisfied you?
Well, I mean, I didn't love Bregman from the Mets perspective. Well, Willie Adames before he got signed by the Giants,
Adames,
early in the
okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was bigger move to be made in this offseason. And by the way, if not in the offseason, then yeah, go trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr., which maybe they do, and I'd be happy with that. But still, I don't know if it's enough in the offseason. Now, you don't win World Series in the offseason, although everybody seemingly thinks the Dodgers have already won the World Series. They won one last year, and now they've gotten better on paper going in, so they are going to be a monster and tough to handle. And the Mets had ways to go to close that gap from what we saw last year, where the Mets really, I don't want to say they didn't belong on the same field as the Dodgers, but come on. Like, the Dodgers were on another level than the little engine that could Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets felt they took another step this offseason, bringing in big bad Juan Soto. Sure, that's a great check in favor of them. They didn't do enough with the pitching. I thought they were going to do much more in the rotation.
Me too.
They didn't do enough with the bullpen, and they didn't do enough with the lineup.
Like, I agree.
I thought the Mets were going to do more without having the Dodgers go over the top. Mets didn't do enough. The Dodgers went over the top on top of that.
It's been the first time this has been asked, and I admit I ask it, and I know it's very, very, very early. Nor do I expect you to necessarily say yes, but is it an absolute no? I don't know. I'll get your answer here. Do you think, without verbalizing it, that somewhere Juan Soto's saying to himself, I thought we were going to do a little more than this.
I think, and that's why I say I think they're getting Vlad. There's no way Juan Soto would have agreed to come here, especially being that the money was close to being equal, right?
I mean, we
agree on that. It wasn't like the Mets went, hey, we're going to give you $765 and the Yankees were at $700.
No, the Yankees were one more year, so we'd have to work a little bit harder to get basically
whatever.
The same money.
But the money was basically in the ballpark.
Yes.
And I don't think it comes down to the suite either. Like, okay, yeah, that was a nice gesture by the Mets. That's not going to be the make it or break it thing for where Juan Soto says, yeah, you know what, the Mets offered a suite or this team would have offered a suite, I would have gone there. No. So I believe that they told him they were, what their plans were. Hey, we're going to try to do A. If A doesn't work, we're going to try to do B. This is our plan for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Here's our infrastructure. Here's the money we put in the farm system. This is how we want to grow these guys. So I believe they told Soto their plan, which I believe included Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now, I don't know this. I'm just using common sense here. The reports were, so the facts are that the Mets did inquire about making a trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The facts are that he is still not signed to an extension by the Blue Jays, and that he has a deadline of the first day that the team reports the spring training. So all those things are still in play. They're also both from the same country, both Dominican ball players and friends. I believe that maybe there was some back channeling going, who knows? But I believe that that was the big move that the Mets told Soto about, which maybe then led Guerrero to not really wanting to sign the extension, to whether it happens spring training, in season, or off season. I believe Guerrero Jr. is going to happen.
I look at this Mets lineup now, and it would just be a little naked without a bopper behind Soto.
Yeah.
That's hard to justify.
Yeah,
like, and that's got to be changed.
And by the way, then if they did that, then I'd still say, okay, now go get a real pitcher. Like,
yeah, to match up with, well, which is the conversation, the Dodgers.
Well, I mean, yeah, or even in your own division. But yes, the Dodgers are the real conversation. Look at the starters the Dodgers throw out. Okay, injuries happen. Some guys underperform, whatever. Even with that, they're still better. Their bullpen is better. So the Mets are like entering the conversation, but they're not on that level. The Yankees, to your point earlier, and in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. The Yankees at least can say, all right, we lost a little bit in our lineup, but we did get some balance and put the pieces in a different place. They fit a little bit better defensively. Maybe our lineup's a little more balanced as opposed to top heavy. But they also have a loaded starting rotation and a loaded bullpen. So at least you're entering saying, we're really good now and on par with them with our rotation and bullpen, and maybe they do more in season.
Well, listen, none of us, well, I shouldn't say none, but I would venture to guess 90%+ of Yankee fans do not want to see DJ LeMay who's starting at second or third. I mean, that's fairly common, but
shouldn't
It shouldn't happen, but it could.
Yeah.
And while we'll all scream about it, I think once the screams begin to dissipate, the reality of it is that, at least on paper, if they're healthy, particularly judging atop the staff here, the Yankees and the league that they play in and the division, the Yankees can navigate one position where you have an aging player if we're not sure if he could still play, or a young kid, maybe if we don't know if he's ever going to be a good major leaguer. They could roll that out for a month or two and not drown,
right?
Because they're still going to win a lot of games because of the pitching, because of the Judge, because of the other sticks that they imported here. So it gives them a grace period to experiment that I don't think the Mets necessarily have as much.
Here's a point I don't think people are emphasizing enough. Things inevitably go wrong, right? Whether you're the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, generally things inevitably go wrong. The Dodgers have set themselves up with enough wiggle room that it would have to be catastrophic. And even if that, they're still probably going to be a playoff team and in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
We forget, because of how far the Mets went last year, we forget how close they were to not being in.
That's a good point.
So for all the bows that David Stearns is taking and all the flowers that we're throwing at him, oh, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Look what he did last year. They made the playoffs by the short ones. So it was that close to being like, hey, you didn't make the playoffs. We told you weren't going to make the playoffs, and you did. Now, they got in. They went on the run. So give them credit. But they left themselves no wiggle room. And again, their margin for error going in is that they almost have to have everything go right, or near everything go right, to again be a borderline playoff team.
But I'm still not going to abandon my long-term principles to satisfy the now if the move in the now is not something that I'm going to still be happy about in a couple of years, because it's bigger picture for the Mets.
How about with Alonso specifically, whereas they're at 370. Okay, yeah, it's the most that probably the best offer Alonso has by far, I would think. But why not?
It's the only one he's got.
Yeah, okay, right.
A lot of sits.
Right. So then they're just waiting and playing that hardball game as opposed to just saying, hey, you know what? Let's just make him happy and we also get a piece back. Like, we actually need the more the merrier. And if Vlad's still in play, you should be able to get Vlad to move Alonso to DH. Like, let's not mess around here anymore.
But my answer is still the same as last week. Yeah. No, I don't think that they need to do that right now, because while it's the easy move and it might solve it, I don't see the need to just flush $25 or $30 million down the chute, even though Steve Cohen's worth $15 or $16 billion. So he clearly has that in his pocket, so to speak, along with lint. That's not the smart business practice. Cohen's not going to start doing that.
Fine, then go spend that money on pitching. So they could have gotten Tanner Scott for what he signed, 470
something. 4 years, yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe they don't want him for 4 years. Maybe they look at the numbers, then they don't think he projects for 4 years.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that at some point, to get to that next level and widen the margin for error, you're going to have to, I hate even using the term overspend.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is Mets aren't on that level.
No, they're not.
Even after adding the best player they could have added this offseason, they're still not on that level.
Let me put it this way. We'll get back to these calls here. All right, so you can definitely question what the Mets are doing right now. I think it's unfair to be so dug into your position that it can't change. Like this I hate this expression, but this really is fluid. Like Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, that's fairly fluid. Mm-hmm. I think the Mets thing is fairly fluid. Like, right now, the iron that they've got in the fire for Vlad, until he is signed with Toronto or somebody else swoops in and trades for him, you can question a little, but you can't criticize their offseason plan because nobody's jumped in their path to change it yet.
No, and I still think you're right. Now, once that becomes, let's say he signs the extension with the Blue Jays and that's over.
Well, that's a different, and then if they don't pivot back to Pete and they go into the season and you've got, you know, a young kid at first, a young kid at third, and they're both hitting .180, although I don't think Vientos will, but say Mauricio is overwhelmed early, and, you know, Soto's getting pitched around, and the Mets pitching is not great, and the Mets offense is, you know, benign, well, then that's a different conversation, but we're not there yet.
The other thing that we talked about earlier on the show, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Aaron Glenn, of course, Josina Anderson reporting that it seems like it's still likely a done deal. You know, Glenn left the building, people making a big deal of that. BT and I did not make a big deal
not
of that.
All.
Still feel like Glenn is going to be the guy, right or wrong. I would not go with Aaron Glenn. Not that it's a bad hire. I just think there are better hires to be made. I know you love the hire.
I love it. I do. I really, you know, and again, love when you say it is sounds a little strong, but not really. I mean, I've been on the Aaron Glenn train now for a good couple of weeks. You know that. I've done pods on it. I've talked about it on the show. And maybe I'm getting a little wrapped up in the optics, like he's still in good shape. He projects well. He seems very laser focused and aggressive and like uber attentive to, you know, almost like I trust who he's been around as well, whether it's Parcells, whether it's Sean Payton, franchises that have been doormats, franchises that have ascended like the Detroit Lions and the Jets, by the way, when he was there when they were 1-15 and then they basically almost got to the Super Bowl 2 years after that. I just think his football trajectory is very interesting, and I'm behind Aaron Glenn. I fully expect him to be the Jets' next head coach.
Well, let's get some calls in here, BT. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is in Massapequa. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. There's a question that I wanted to ask about Pete Alonso comparison. I think it affects both the Yankees and the Mets, because if he does end up going to Toronto, which has been rumored, maybe possibility, look at Edwin Encarnacion's numbers going into his 29, 30 years compared to his down years previously. And those 3 to 5 years, if he puts up those numbers in Toronto, it just kills the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, you give Vlad and Pete and the Santander and Jimenez that they just got in Toronto, you take them away from the Mets, and you have nobody behind Soto. And if he gets a steal of a 3-year contract in Toronto, he could just mash up there.
Yeah, Toronto
he
stinks.
Could. He could.
And thanks for the call, Chris. Are you worried about the Blue Jays?
No. I mean, you mentioned Santander and Gunnar Henderson and a bevy of other incredibly young players couldn't even beat out the Yankees. I'm not saying it could happen this year, although Baltimore's done nothing this offseason.
They lost Burns.
God.
They lost Santander, two main contributors for the team a year ago.
I think the Red Sox could finish second.
The Red Sox, for competitive balance in the American League, or more specifically in the American League East, I want the Red Sox to get Bregman, because I think then at least you feel like, hey, the Red Sox, they weren't awful last year. Maybe they closed the gap a little bit on the Yankees, and maybe it comes back down to being the Yankees and Red Sox for that division. I think Toronto stinks. Who's pitching for the Blue Jays? Like, Chris Bassett? I mean, come on, what are we talking about?
I think the Red Sox rotation is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To our point about the Red Sox here. Yeah, they got some arms on that staff now.
Now, Baltimore's still going to have some young players there.
For sure.
But they, like, how could you not say, after last last year where we gave them credit, and me more so than you, thinking like, hey, maybe this could be a force to be reckoned with moving forward. Yanks dismissed of them.
Yeah.
And this year, Baltimore's gotten worse going into the season.
Well, and the other thing that's happened here, one of the reasons why we were maybe not sensationalizing, but elevating the Orioles maybe a little early is because I think there was all this built-in expectation that new ownership was going to finally start spending some money down there.
Yeah.
So wait, let me get this straight. You got, you know, five or six players who are 22 to 24 who are really good, like dynamic players with juice, and they're going to maybe start kicking in $50 to $75 million more offseason, each offseason. They haven't done that. And now, to your point, they lost Burns, they lost Santander at 44 home runs. I mean, it seems like they had an awful offseason.
Yeah, what are they waiting for? Like, if you let Santander go, whatever, okay, maybe not a big deal, they didn't love him. You're letting Burns go? And even that, like, I didn't love him necessarily, but you're the Orioles, you need pitching. Go sign somebody else then.
I know.
What moves have they made? But back to the caller's point, I would not be worried about Toronto at all. Even if they kept Vlad and signed Pete, they're still not on the Yankees level.
No, I don't think that they are.
Bullpen,
no,
starters, I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
All right, we'll get back to your calls, BT and Sal on the fan. And still a lot to do here, BT. We haven't even done the Hall of Fame stuff. So I want to get into the Hall of Fame. We got to talk a little bit about the Johnnies, big game tonight. So we'll have some fun with that. And the coaching carousel in the NFL, not just obviously Aaron Glenn, but there's some other interesting things going on which could potentially lead to Robert Saleh getting back and the NFL is a head coach. We'll discuss all that and your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls here, 888-808-1019.
All right, so I want to circle back to this. So earlier, well, if you missed it the other day, Sal was watching movies the other night, and you watched Wicked, and you said you really liked it. It was really long, but you really liked
it
other night, right?
Loved Wicked.
Not like you loved it. Okay. So, and I've been there because, and you're getting there with your daughter, even though you didn't watch this with your daughter, it was with your wife and her cousin.
Yeah.
But I love the Frozen soundtrack.
Yeah.
I love Moana soundtrack. I have not seen Wicked. My daughter, my wife has, a few of her friends. Well, and that's great. That's part of being a dad, and that's part of having a different side of whatever, rather just the hardness of sports and all that. But you threw me for a little bit of a loop today when you said that. You actually, like, you proactively searched it out and listened to the music on the way to work?
Well, yeah, on the way home last night, and then again on the way to work this morning, in between listening to Boomer and Geo, I threw it on. Yeah,
you like it this much?
I do. I gotta hear this.
What's the name of the song? Is this the popular one?
Yes. This is the name of the song. I think it's called Popular. It's Ariana. How do you say her name?
Ariana Grande.
Grande. Yeah, there you go. Ariana Grande. And it's like Grande.
No, it's Grande. I mean, it's definitely Grande.
Maybe we could get the definitive word from Aaron Boone, who likes to check in on these certain things. But Ariana Grande. Yeah, I love the song. It gets me in a good mood. It's, you know.
Hoff, have you heard this song yet?
No.
Probably not with three boys. All right, let's tune in to Sal's new drive it commute music.
Will
oh God.
Be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you
talk to
boys.
Hold on, let me just let it resonate for a second. I'm not even saying
it. I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair.
It's great, isn't it?
Everything that really counts to be popular.
I mean, it's not great.
I'll help you be popular.
Come on.
Oh, a little more, huh? What's the chorus?
Turn this up, come on.
Yeah, crank it up.
So let's start, because you've got an awfully long way to go.
I mean, it's a Broadway. You don't like the Broadway music?
I do. I told you. I saw Les Mis. I saw Chicago. I saw a lot of Broadway hits. Sure.
Not only was I listening, because the movie was so good,
yeah,
and it got me in the
movie.
Yeah. it got me in the mood to listen to that. Not only that, I started going back listening to some soundtracks or songs that I like from Book of Mormon. You ever see that?
That I have not seen. I heard it was good.
Hoff, have you seen that? Look at him shaking
his
head. Book of Mormon?
Oh, no, Book of Mormon is badass. That's great.
Okay,
that's
and then the song,
Gosh from South Park.
Yeah, that I saw that, I think, twice at the time. So I was in my Broadway kick, and I'm like, man, I miss this, and I miss going to the city and going to see Broadway shows. I want to go again.
Okay, no, listen, and to each his own, and I respect that, but there's a little difference, and I got to point this out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to think, I'm putting myself in your shoes here. Like, if I watched Wicked with my wife versus my daughter.
Yeah.
And we watch it on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night. Oh, wow, it was a great movie. All right, awesome. Which I wouldn't watch without the kids. But, okay, you did that. Got it. And then I liked it so much that, like, I played it on the way to work. That, not a bad thing. Just surprises me.
Right.
Like, there are some songs that, I mean, I know all the words to some of these songs from Frozen and Moana.
Yeah.
I love them, love them, love them, love them. But I love them because I first saw them with my daughter, and those memories are captured with how young she was and where we were, and you watch this with your wife.
Yeah,
this
is different. This has nothing to do with my daughter. This is all me.
You just like it.
This is all 45-year-old me. Yeah, I love this.
All right.
It's a great update. I want you to watch this movie. Now, you watch Wizard of Oz.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, what do you mean, well, yeah? You're the second person that said this to me. Jimmy Traynor, same thing. Oh, yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah, okay, so what? It's a carryover of that. It's even better in certain ways than that because it's a prequel. It's more insightful.
Yep, yep.
It's
very well done. Okay,
visually.
No. I've heard all that. The difference, though, like when I watched The Wizard of Oz in, I don't know, 1980 for the first time, my mom put it on. It's not like I said, Mom, can we watch The Wizard of Oz?
Right.
Like it was put on for us, for me and my sister. We watched it.
I used to be scared of the Wicked Witch in that one.
I was a little scared of them as well.
And now I like
some
her.
Of those. But yeah, I got you.
I understand her better now.
I got to be honest. I think Ariana Grande, and she was just weird on her post-movie tour. She's just weird.
I didn't see that. You're not a fan of hers?
I was. Just crying every interview.
Really?
Yeah, she's just weird.
Yeah, but that's actors, though. I mean, I've watched.
Come on.
I've watched Walking Dead, the after shows, and they say, "Oh my God, that scene where you got killed by the zombie—it was amazing. You should win an Emmy for that." That's what these people all kiss each other's butts.
And for the record, I'm not even into it because of Ariana Grande, who I like, and I'm a fan of at least her music and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl, and I forget her name, Cynthia something.
Who's the witch? Right?
Yeah, she is.
She's good.
Unbelievably good in this, and she's great.
I don't doubt that. I've heard that.
So I just like it because of the movie, less about who's playing him. Hoff, you said you have another song.
Yeah, Gallo came in and was like, "Dude, you got to play Defying Gravity." I don't know what
is this. Is this from the Wicked soundtrack?
Yeah.
It's me.
It's a little more my speed. A little more upbeat.
So if you care to find me, to the western sky.
It sounds like Celine Dion. It actually sounds like a real song.
What's her name? Cynthia something? You got to look that up. She's great in it. But yeah,
I'm not knocking it. I'm a little surprised.
I didn't listen to the whole soundtrack. Didn't have enough time, but popular was the go-to right there.
All right. What are you going to watch this weekend? Hello Kitty?
No, we still got... I'm watching the movies that are on the thing. It's going to be nominated.
The Care Bears cartoons?
By the way, we joke, Wicked's probably going to be nominated for Best
Pick. I know it is. I think
the nominations actually might come out today or this week, maybe tomorrow. So I'm going to try to watch the best ones that are on there. And last night, a complete unknown... Total dud.
What was the name of it?
A complete unknown.
Oh, the Bob Dylan one.
Yeah,
that
was
like
a dud. So far, Wicked takes the cake.
By the way, her name is Cynthia Erivo.
She is fantastic in that. Cynthia Erivo. I want to watch Anora. Have you heard of this one? You're behind on this stuff.
I am behind with this stuff.
You got to check it out.
Is that the action film?
But you said your wife, Jen, saw Wicked.
Wicked on Broadway. Wicked on Broadway and Wicked in the movies a couple of weeks ago with my daughter and her friends.
And she didn't love it.
I told her, her first response was, it was long.
Does she like Broadway shows?
Sure. We do.
You
we
know
what
that likes it?
We saw Elf on Broadway, by the way. I told you that night.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
We went to see Elf on Broadway over the holidays.
That one I have not seen.
All 13 of us.
I want to get, maybe I'll just text her. I want to get Susan's expertise on this.
Susan
Waldman.
Oh.
What do you mean Susan? Susan Waldman, who comes on with us, of course, all the time. And she's the Broadway aficionado.
That's a good call.
I would venture to say that even though maybe Susan leans with you with the Soto and Yankee stuff, that maybe she leans with me with the Wicked stuff.
Okay.
Although Susan's like hardcore Broadway.
She loves it. She loves it.
Right, but this is a movie, so I don't know if that like.
But it was on Broadway. Like, it might still be on Broadway.
But here's the thing, though, guys. You have to understand there's different layers of Broadway. My wife is big onto Broadway. She cannot stand certain writers and composers and stuff like that. So, like, this may not be up Susan's alley. Like, she's more like.
Did you see Jersey Boys ever?
I love Jersey Boys. That was fantastic.
The Broadway play,
right? Yeah, of course.
Me too. Loved it. Actually, took my parents in to see it.
Loved
it, was a great
night.
And then did you see the movie that came afterwards?
Yes.
And?
Not as good. I did not like it quite as much. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to, you know, not going to hammer it, but it was not as good as the Broadway show.
So this, I think, is even better. Like, the Broadway show is great for what it is.
Yeah.
This does it justice and then some, at least in my opinion.
Listen, not going to belabor it. I think I always took you more for a Lion King kind of guy than Wicked.
I've never seen Lion King. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Man.
Well, you know what I'm not is a half-baked guy. Frankie P is in Marlboro and wants to talk about half-baked. What's up, Frankie P?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show. My favorite on the Fan, man, by far.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, but guys, one issue, though.
What?
The movie Sal walks out on was half-baked.
It's amazing. Hey, give the man card back while you walk it out.
Out of all the movies, you picked that?
I don't get it.
That was bad enough you didn't know who Stevie Nicks is, but dude,
true.
I had to call in, bro.
Yeah.
I had to call in.
We appreciate it, Frankie P. I mean,
Frank, you're right.
I told you, it just wasn't my thing. I never did drugs then nor now, and I remember being in that theater with my then-girlfriend. I was very young. It was my first girlfriend. I was probably 17, 18, whatever. Walked out, couldn't take it anymore.
Wait. All right, now
this
is another curveball here. So
we also saw Beverly Hills Ninja together. That one.
Did you really? So, I don't want to get too crude here, but... So you leave a movie theater at the age of 17 with your first girlfriend.
Yes.
Most of us stayed in the movie theater with our first girlfriend at the age of 17.
Well, maybe I left to go, you know, it's uncomfortable in a movie theater.
You went to
hide behind a popcorn. Well, I'm saying maybe we left the theater and...
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't crowded. It's not like you went to go see E.T. or
a
Tom Cruise or a Tom Hanks movie in the 90s.
It was probably
nobody was there. Yeah, that's even better than where else could you go when you're 17? You still live at home.
I found that to be an overrated thing. Much like,
oh, God, what?
In bathtub, shower stuff.
Go to Harrison in New Jersey City, please.
Harrison is in Jersey City. What's up, Harrison?
Hey, fellas. Big fan of the show. First time calling you guys specifically. I had to jump on when you started talking about Wicked stuff.
Yes.
I got a remix for you, a popular. It's something I used to listen to a lot, like 10 years ago. It's a remix of like the original Broadway track. It's by Huey Mack. He's like a frat rap type guy, but he did a remix of popular.
Mm-hmm.
You probably love it if you're listening to this recent stuff.
Yeah.
But to BT's point, dude, it is long, and the whole movie is only the first act.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I'm excited about it. It's part one.
The second half.
Hey, do you know when it comes out, Harrison? When the part two is going to be released?
There's another one coming out?
Oh, I don't know. They're probably going to milk it a couple of years, man.
No.
I enjoyed it, but dude, it is long. And the whole press thing leading up to it.
You know what I mean.
I felt that vibe more so with the actress who played Elphaba. Ariana Grande was kind of weird, too.
Yeah,
but
what are we doing?
I don't know if they're PR people or what, but it turned me off. You know?
Sorry, Harrison, and thank you for calling.
You.
I didn't see any of that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I heard about
cringe.
But yeah, I didn't see any. I didn't watch a lot of that stuff. But I thought the movie was great, and I'm excited for part two. And they better not make us wait another year. So I want it, you know, within a year.
I'm confused, though. What do you mean? They already said part two's coming out? I'm surprised.
At the end of it, it says.
I mean, I'm confused.
At the end of it, it says part one.
Really?
Yeah, and it leaves like the cliffhanger.
That's pretty interesting.
She's becoming, you know, she's starting to get. A little wicked.
Gotcha. Well, I know that Frozen 3 is coming out in 2027, so there's usually a gap, to your point, and Moana 2, which I took my daughter to see about a month ago.
Yeah.
We watched that when she was like two. So there's probably maybe five or even more years between Moana and Moana 2.
Hoff, you have the remix up?
Oh.
There you go.
A little better, at least.
What up, jerk?
This is better.
I could have done this. Come on.
Oh, he raps over it in a second, though. Hold on.
But that beat is great.
It's all right.
I could do this.
Me too.
Maybe I should write my version of this. All right, I like that.
That's better.
That song is a hit song, and he's taking this chorus, this part. I love that part where she starts singing like that. This is a great song.
It's Hamilton meets Wicked. That's what it is.
There you go. All right. I like it. By the way, I should mention, nice shirt today, BT. Very nice shirt. You look nice today. Nice shirt.
Thank you.
What? You're looking at me weird.
It's a sweatshirt.
No, it's
what are you trying to walk me into
no,
here?
No, nothing. I'm just commenting on your outfit. You look very nice today. Remember yesterday you asked us, you were wondering why we didn't comment on your outfit? I just want to make sure.
Oh, the turtleneck?
I just want to make sure we acknowledge your...
Yeah.
You look like a boss today.
Yeah, yeah.
How about us? How do we look today?
You guys, we're going to get to this later. You're all Johnnied out. Don't bring the mush to the garden tonight. These two humps. So when you see these two humps sitting courtside, and if it's Xavier 13 and St. John's 2 and there's a timeout, look at them and give them hell.
Yeah, all right, BT and Sal, the fan, we'll get back to the sports on the other side. 888-808-1019. Nine, the number to call. Get back to the calls in a second. And before we get to the Knicks here, I should have you know that my partner was listening during that break to Let It Go from Frozen.
I had to go on my own little sentimental journey as well.
Okay.
I don't hide the fact that I love those songs.
I respect it.
That's not my only one. We could build a snowman. I mean, there's a lot of songs from that soundtrack that I love.
Just there's a softer side of you as well.
100%. Yeah. No. The only difference is...
I mean, Let It Go, my Frozen.
All right, I'll just let it go. Oh, I thought you meant that.
No.
I mean, I love it.
It's a good song, but
it's a great movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's about a little girl finding her way because of what she was hiding with the Frozen thing.
Well, what do you think Wicked's about? It's a little girl.
I don't know exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Just trust me on this.
I don't really know.
You got to watch. Not about a witch. Anyway, all right. So how about the Knicks last night? To me, this was I hate to say it, BT, but just another meaningless regular season game against a team who's clearly tanking on the year, whether they're actually tanking or, I'm not saying they're trying to lose every single game, but they're built to lose every single game in the Nets. There is no rivalry. It does nothing for me in that building especially. And the Knicks aren't clicking, which is annoying the crap out of me, too. Like, the Knicks aren't playing a great brand of basketball. That, to me, was a nothing game last night at Barclays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-point game with 5 minutes to go. The Nets are awful, and the Knicks are supposed to be a little bit past where they are right now. You know, yeah, it's January, and, you got a couple of guys a little bit banged up, and the rotation still needs to sort itself out. So we're not going to go bonkers on a four-point win here in latest January, but... bigger picture, and it's funny because, when I talk about this with some of my buddies who are real big Knicks fans, I mean guys who have been dug in since not only the 90s, but even some of them going back to the 80s because of our age, right? And the one common denominator that many of us share is that we're just not enjoying this team as much. Like, when you say, hey, I feel you, that's a common way to respond, you understand, yeah, I feel you, I know what you mean, I feel you. Like, we felt that Knicks team last year. We felt them. We connected to, we felt... like they were a perfect embodiment of not only, a team, not finally they were good, first and foremost, but they also were a modern embodiment of previous Knick teams. They were tough. They were great. Now, much better offensively and much deeper, I think. But they were just, they took us on a ride that was very relatable, a little sentimental, and very powerful. And I love all the guys on the team. And most of the guys are still here. But I don't feel the same connection to him I had last year because the guys who held it together in large part are no longer here. I'm not saying it can't change, but for me and for many others, it definitely feels different.
Okay, but you exchange that for a team that is better.
But I don't know that they're better. I don't know that they're better.
You don't think that they could go further than... Now, whether they do or not, I mean, the Knicks team last year had its cap. This year's cap is the World Championship. An NBA title.
That's the cap yet. They got to get Mitchell Robinson back.
I'm not saying they're going to win the NBA title.
I know you're not.
I'm saying that they legitimately can based on their talent, whereas last year, they couldn't. They didn't have that talent last year.
Well, that I agree with, but let's not dilute the circumstances. OG basically had his hamstring rip off his bone. They were not perfect. They were a great story. They kind of came out of nowhere, even though they were little dribs and drabs the year before that. But last year they took a quantum leap forward, energized all of us. I think I'll put it this way, Sal. This will tell you all you need to know about how I feel about the Knicks right now. Now, today, at this moment, I would bet, and I wouldn't want to do this, but if I had to do something like this, I would bet that the Knicks don't even get as far as they got last year. Meaning, I don't even think they get to a game seven in round two the way they're set up right now.
Okay.
They got there last year, and they had three guys who were hurt.
And the now, I would rather have the potential to go further than last year's fun. Now, it was fun. You're right. There was a connection there. They were Warriors. We battled with them every single night. The postseason series, obviously, they fell short. Injuries, lack of talent, whatever. This year is not going to be as fun. Maybe they don't go as far. But they still could go further based on their talent. I'd rather take that chance. And look at the Mets. It's the same exact thing. I guarantee you, last year's little engine that could, Grimace, OMG Mets, are not going to be, quote unquote, as fun in the way that that was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they're better. And with Juan Soto, the expectations have changed, certainly, but they're better. And they have the potential to go further. I still don't think they're on the level of the Dodgers, the top teams. We'll see how it plays out. I like their chances better with Soto in the lineup versus what they had a year ago,
yep.
even minus Pete. But you see what I'm saying?
I think it's a pretty interesting point. I would only push back and say that when a basketball team is different year to year versus a baseball team being different year to year, I think that it's more noticeable and less enjoyable if the difference is not positive in basketball because of style of play. Like, to me, Jalen Brunson doesn't even quite feel the same for me right now. And he hasn't all year. I know he's got good numbers. I know he's been good. But I think he's been a little less than last year, a little bit.
Is it because points are much easier to come by for this team overall?
Well, no. I think it's the opposite. I think it's more that last year they just seemed more committed to stopping teams. And that, to me, is a character thing.
Brunson was never a good defensive player.
No, and he never will be.
So does his scoring or his strengths get minimized on a team where they could score 140 a night when they're going well?
An interesting point, too. Like, yeah, when you're trying to score 110 versus 125, the guy who's going to get you a 30-40 burger is going to be elevated. No, that's a very, very good point. I know what you mean. I agree. But to me, the character comes out in how you play defense, not during offense. Anybody could play offense. You know, I mean, not anybody, but a lot of teams could fill it up with the defensive indifference. And, you know, a lot of teams could shoot threes these days. It's a special team. I think it's just a different identity, and it's a different relatability, and it's a different connection when a team is more defensive-oriented. And this team is winning not as much. I wish they should have a few more wins, and they beat up on bad teams. I just don't feel great about the Knicks. I've said this really all season.
Unfortunately, the way that the league is going, I think that this was a necessary evil. I'm with you. I'd rather have a defensive team that you could relate to, a grinded-out team. That's what they were even before Brunson got here.
Yeah.
When Tibbs first got here, I liked that team with Reggie Bullock and obviously Randall leading the way, like those type guys. There was something about the way they grinded out victories night in, night out. But eventually, in today's NBA, you need to have what the Knicks have offensively. Anybody on the floor could score at any moment from anywhere on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, when Mitchell Robinson comes back, it'll be a different story.
Yep.
And maybe that'll be the missing piece to this team. But I think that this is a necessary evil to try to be a championship contender.
Listen, the only thing that I would say is, like, last year when the Knicks were on, like, I would hit the remote with a different energy.
Yep.
This year it's like, all right, let me see what the Knicks are doing.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
I hit the remote to go to a different channel.
Hey, you want
to
watch Wicked again?
Yeah. PT and Sal on the Fan. We still have to get into the Hall of Fame stuff from yesterday. Didn't do that. And the coaching carousel. Ben Johnson addressed the media today, has some interesting things to say. Also, the Jaguars opening, maybe not as appealing as some would think, even with Trevor Lawrence in place. So we could have some fun with that conversation as well. PT and Sal on the Fan.